parents, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity. Kids, I envy you. I so envy you because, truth be told, your options have never been better with Dr. Brown's Options Plus wide neck bottles. From nipple to base, it eases the transition from breast to bottle and back again. Each nipple is specifically engineered to offer the same consistent natural flow so that you and your twins know what to expect at every feeding. The new breast-like nipple shape is correctly contoured for a proper latch and a more natural bottle feeding experience. So together with the anti-colic internal vent system, your twins will feed with minimal fuss. And when your babies are no longer gassy, remove the venting system and continue to use the Options Plus bottle without the extra parts. Brilliant! It really is brilliant. You guys are so lucky. So for more information on the Dr. Brown's Options Plus bottle, visit drbrownsbaby.com.
Joel.
Yes.
I like how basically I'm going to start every one of these with Joel.
And I say, uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. Today we're talking to Carlos. I love speaking to daddios because I just do. Come on, dads. Tell your husbands, if you're listening to this and you have a partner, could you just tell them to freaking apply for this podcast? I love talking to dads. And I think that we could learn from it. Obviously dads learn from other dads, but why are you keeping everything so underground, dads?
Yeah.
Share
You really can just go to twiniversity.com/podcasts and there's a literal form on our website you can fill out to apply to be a guest.
It's that easy. We don't want excuses. Why is my husband doing it? I don't want to interview my husband though.
No, my husband doesn't really talk, so he would not be a good guest.
Isn't that funny that our husbands don't talk? It's what makes them so wonderful.
I'm pretty sure that's why they're our husbands though.
Honestly, it probably is. It probably is. What a shame. Our poor hubs.
What's Carlos like?
Okay. So Carlos, he's the sweetest. He's the sweetest. And he made me have husband envy. And I wanted to be like, oh my gosh, Carlos, you're the best dad ever. But it's really fascinating to hear the dad's perspective of things and how he's going through the journey with his wife and how he supports her. And I thought it was just really great. Genuinely, I don't even want to tape this because I want them to hear this. But the thing that I want to talk about is, before we talk to Carlos, is that so many of us are so absorbed in our own pregnancies, which you should be. Okay. And so many of us are absorbed in our own universes with our twins, which you should be. However, something that I was recently talking to Kim West, the sleep lady, about, I just did her podcast. I have no idea when that's going to air, but we ended up having an interesting discussion. And I said to her, she was like, well, what are some things that twin parents need to know? And I said, well, the one thing, and we talk about it in Twiniversity class, is relationships, right? And we always have these conversations about relationships. And Jewel, something that I wanted to talk to you about too, to add to our class, because Julie is a fantastic teacher with the mostest. In fact, she's got class tonight. I don't even know how she's going to do everything that she's got to do in one day.
I get it.
God bless her. God bless her soul. So what I say now when I'm doing consulting for my lactation stuff is that we, just like in Twiniversity class, you always have the partner involved because it is a family affair. But now I'm really taking time to ask the partners, what do you want to get out of this? Mm-hmm. What's your expectation, right? What do you want to be an involved parent? Do you want to have nothing to do with these kids? Did you have kids with a gun to your head? Like, where exactly do you see yourself fitting in to your family dynamic? Mm-hmm. And I was just recently working with this one family, and he said, and he was sitting there and he said to me, I don't know. No one's ever asked me. And I was like, dude, I'm asking you.
Yeah.
So let's figure out what we want to do here. And I said to his partner, I said, you know, like, have you ever talked about this? And she's like, no, she's like, we've just been so in the moment of going through everything. Sure. That we just never had a chance. And I said, well, he should know your expectations as a mom and you should know his as a dad or a partner. Mm-hmm. And I love that it made like a little light bulb go off in his head that gave him permission to be a parent. Because before he was just a supporting actor in the lead role of mama. And Carlos and I talk about this, but you have to figure out what your expectations are of your partner and yourself and figure out how to make this work. Because if you keep treating your partner like a supporting actor, they're going to act like a supporting actor.
Yeah, that's a really good metaphor. I've never thought about it that way.
See, this is what I'm saying. That's why I was going to talk to you off pod.
Yeah.
But it's really true because I'm like, holy crap. I'm trying to crack the code on dads, right? Because we know that we need support. And especially we're still in the middle of this pandemic. And I pray that you're listening to this in 2 years when the pandemic is just a twinkle in your eye. But during this time, you know, dads are critical. And one thing that this pandemic has really brought to light is that there is no supporting role of a mother-in-law or a sister-in-law or a sister, because it's been, you know, we've been in such close quarters trying to keep our babies and ourselves safe from this raging virus. So dads have to kind of step up. Even if they did not want to step up, they have no choice. You have to step up now. Because now that we're literally in a quarantine, you have no choice. And when you have no choice, I need to know, do you feel cornered? How do you feel about this? Because we have so many discussions at Twiniversity, right? About like, here's what your mom's going to do. Here's what you pack in your hospital bag. And we touch on it and we say, okay, dads, here's what's going to be in your hospital bag. And did you know that you're going to be the first one to change a diaper and the first one to meet, you may be able to feed a baby depending on what her delivery situation was like. And so dads get thrown into the fire, but let's literally talk about this before we have to put out a fire.
Yeah.
What do you want out of this? Mm-hmm. And let's have a discussion about that. So I honestly, and Jewel, I think that your husband is the same. I think had we had these discussions with our own husbands, we may have had a different postnatal experience.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We didn't talk about anything like this during the pregnancy at all, ever. I don't even know what we talked about. I don't think we even really talked about much except what do you want for dinner tonight? Oh, I don't know. What do you want for dinner tonight?
Yeah, we watched Angel as I sat on the couch and complained about my round ligament pain.
I rewatched The Wonder Years. Shocker. And Lost. I rewatched Lost again.
Did you hear about Topanga's husband finding shrimp tails and cinnamon crunch toast boxes?
Whoa.
Wait, that was Boy Meets World. Sorry, Jewel. I went off topic.
But related, Fred Savage and Ben Savage, brothers.
That's probably why
it
got connected. By the way,
did you know they're coming out with a new Wonder Years produced by Fred Savage featuring a Black family in Alabama at the same time?
I always thought that was the same person.
You thought Fred Savage and Ben Savage were the same person?
In my mind.
How could you? Fred Savage is like my teenage boyfriend. Like, he was like it. Like, crush of my childhood. Ben Savage. Or Fred Savage. Not Ben Savage. Fred Savage. What am I talking about?
I'm so confused right now.
For all the people out there who are so young and don't even know what I'm talking about, this is a show called The Wonder Years. It's available on Hulu, I believe.
So good.
Maybe Netflix. You guys, you got to watch it. It's so good. He's so freaking adorable.
Teenagers.
I hated Winnie so much because I wanted to be Winnie. And I was like, Winnie, you're such an idiot. He's so cute. How could you just be like, meh? I hated her.
Because girls are the worst.
That's why. I mean, really.
We're the worst.
Anyway.
We're the worst. Okay. We digress. I don't even know how we got here, but I forgot. Literally
about Carlos becoming a dad, learning how to become ADHD. A dad. Yeah, go ADHD.
We should have a sound button that's like ADD time, like that. And then
like a radio.
Yeah.
Like we're radio DJs.
ADD. Like that. She'll find that sound effect.
I'll get right on that. I'm sure there's a sound bite somewhere.
Oh, I'm positive. On the internet. Positive. I just made it. Boo! ADD. There you go. Take it.
Hey, we're not making fun of ADD, just so you know.
No, but
pretty much everybody we're related to and are friends with has it. So this is how we deal with it.
I like it though. I know that some people hate it. I feel like it's made me a good entrepreneur.
Well, ADHD is a superpower. It really is. The most creative, innovative people have ADHD.
So. I love everything about this. Well, look, we're going to get back on topic because we're going to talk about Carlos, who does not have, maybe he does. I don't know. We didn't talk about it. But it's important to have discussions with your partner. The moral of the story is, if your partner isn't being supportive, the reason may be is because you're not allowing them to take a lead role. Thank you, by Natalie Diaz. All right, Joel, are you ready to meet Carlos?
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. All right, let's meet Los.
All right, guys, without further ado, here's Carlos. Carlos, welcome to the family.
How you doing this morning?
I don't know. How are you doing this morning? Right. The jury's still out.
I think I'm just kind of taking it day by day. And I say, as long as, the coffee's brewing and, the TVs are on, I think everything's good. So
yes, that's that. As long as I have Wi-Fi, that's my new thing. Between school and work, I don't even know what's going to happen if there was, what does my son say? There's like an EMP or something, an electromagnetic pulse. And, why we have to build a bunker and buy a 10 pound gallon of mac and cheese for the basement. This is what my son tells me. And I'm like, whatever. I got to just make it to 5 o'clock today ish.
Yeah.
And that's that. I can't worry about the bucket of mac and cheese at this point. So my 20s are a little bit old, but yours are still young. You have a 4-year-old, almost 4-year-old, right? Twin girlies.
Yes. Yeah, twin girls are going to be 4 at the end of this month, actually. So this weekend is party planning weekend. And I say party and kind of like question marks, because we don't really know what that's going to look like in this new kind of normal that we're, living in.
So. Oh, well, I got a huge coronavirus like cell pinata for my twins for their birthday. And we filled it with gold, fake gold coins that they could turn in for things. So, my kids are big, so I can't get away with much anymore. But I was like, instead of trying to pretend that this is a typical situation, I'm going to make it as bizarre as humanly possible. I bought a sheet cake for 4 of us. A half sheet cake will normally serve 48 people. We ate cake for so long. How like some people get married and they take their like the top tier of their cake and put it in the freezer? That's what we did with birthday cake. I went full bizarro. I found it was on Party City. I found the coronavirus literal pinata.
So you found the pinata like with the proteins on it and everything. Yes.
And he had eyes. I'm super into pinatas. I have to say, I think there's always call for a pinata for a birthday. I don't care. And not the string. I want to beat it. I want to beat this thing within an inch of its life until it sheds presents for us. So maybe, instead of trying to figure out how a birthday is going to look, just go totally nutso, because then they'll remember it for a weird reason. Not necessarily that, it was my 4-year-old birthday and a coronavirus. So yeah, it's crazy. Girl dad. All right. We got to talk about this girl dadness, because that's got to be fun. So how many weeks did your wife make it to delivery?
36 weeks.
Excellent.
36 weeks. And I mean, what we learned is that every hospital is kind of a little different. So, so the hospital that we were at, they did not deliver twins through natural birth. It was through cesarean only. So they told us that, hey, if you want a natural birth, you're going to have to go to like a university hospital or some other means.
Okay.
But my wife was already so many weeks in the process and she was totally cool then on board with it. So I guess for me, learning about that, 36 weeks was kind of the safe time frame, because then they've got studies about, stillbirth and everything like that happening after 37, 38 weeks. So
it's unbelievable.
She went the full term.
Yeah. It's actually the danger actually goes a lot more towards the mom as the pregnancy progresses because of your
right.
your uterus ruptures. So like for those of you that are listening, if your doctor's encouraging you or saying, listen, we're not going to let you go 40 weeks and you've had five kids previous, just understand that there really is a reason why they're encouraging you to start the delivery process earlier, because it's just yep. really to keep everybody safest. And if at any yep. point you ever are in doubt of your safety or of your medical team, it is never too late to change it. So I hate when I speak to parents at our Twiniversity classes and people are like, I feel stuck. You're not stuck. We'll help no. you. Like we got you. And you know, one of the good things about us in general, not that I'm tooting my own horn, but it's true because it's really our community, is that like where you are, let's say hypothetically, your wife did want to change at some point, we would just yeah. connect her with somebody else in the area that worked with a doctor who perhaps did this. And we try to make everybody as happy as possible. But even with that, it's not always possible. Just got to say the truth. Now, how did yeah. you feel about that? Like, how did you handle that? Like, did she want to have a vaginal delivery? And then you had to kind of talk to her and, you know, go through it, because it might be disappointing for some people. Did you feel any sense of anything when they told you that your children would not be able to be born old school style?
You know, I kind of did that move where I just kind of did like this in the chair and I just kind of looked at her and yeah. like I was surprised that she was just 100% on board. And she said, I've already picked this doctor. I've already researched it. I like the program they have yeah. here. If this is the advice you're giving, and she just embraced it,
that's great.
Which, you know, I hope she takes this in the spirit in which it's intended, but it's not quite like her because she challenges a lot of things, which is what I love about her, but yeah. she just kind of embraced it. And she said, this is what's safe. This is what they recommend. This is what I'm going to go for it. And you know, everyone was born happy and healthy. So
thank God. That's yeah. great. So 36 weeks, which is great. How big were they when they were born?
Oh gosh, I'm gonna have to go find a picture. I'm terrible to remember these things, but I'll tell you right now,
they are
tall girls right now. So they've always been like in the 98, 99 percentile for like height.
So long little ladies.
Oh, they're tall. That's they're good. Already about almost half my wife. And my wife is short. She's about 5'0". So they're almost about half her size already. So
that's fun. And technically they say when your kids are three, if you double their height at three, that's what their height will be at adulthood. Did you mm-hmm. hear that? I don't even know if that's actually
that's a first for me
record. So, but it honestly, it's pretty close to true. And my kids are pretty much full grown. So I got to say, it's quite shocking. So yeah, if they're long girls now, you may have some tall girls, which it's great. I don't know how they're going to feel about being tall. I'm almost 6 feet tall. I'm like a hair shy of 6 feet. I love being tall. I could get late. I could be late to events and not have to worry about missing whatever it is I could see over most people's heads. There's wonderful, extraordinary things, but wearing heels, I feel like an Amazon, but that's okay. I still do, because sometimes it's fun to be an Amazon. Oh, I hope your girlies are tall. That's cool. Are they identical girlies or fraternal?
They're fraternal twins and they are so different. If you were to look at them, like you wouldn't even think they were cousins. Oh. I mean, hair color's different. You know, skin complexions are different. Their personalities are night and day, night and day. So it really keeps us on our toes. And it really makes you think about the whole, you know, nature and nurture argument you hear so many times, because, hey, they're raised in the same household. They eat the same things. They watch the same cartoons. They've shared a lot of the same clothes and toys. Yeah. And you have these two unique personalities. So there's, I don't know. That's one of the amazing things, I guess, about, you know, you're not just being a girl dad, but just being, you know, a parent, yeah. you know, overall. So,
yeah. I mean, there's wonderful benefits to having identicals and twins that are similar, but it's really fun to see how their evolution occurs when they are raised in the same environment. And yeah. they could be, you know, the thing to remember about fraternal twins is all they have in common sometimes is their birthday. That's yeah. that. How do they feel about sharing a birthday? Do they have expressed anything at this point, or they're still too tiny to not enjoy sharing a birthday?
I don't think that they've fully comprehended it yet that they share a birthday. Mm-hmm. If I'm remembering their last birthday correctly, it's almost like they're so excited that they have this day to celebrate. They don't really care that it's yeah. a birthday or that it's three. It's like, they're just happy that they have something to celebrate together. And for each other.
Yeah. So, oh, that's
yeah,
so sweet.
It's really heartwarming to see. Yeah. Because yeah, they're not selfish at all. You know, if sister has something, hey, I'm going to share with sister, or, you know, they have their tendencies to be selfish, you know, over like Play-Doh and things like that. But, you know, when it comes to parties and gifts and food and things like that, they just, you know, they just embrace it all together. So.
Oh, that's yeah. so great. So you've made it this far. As I love, by the way, that you agreed to do this, because, you know, sometimes dads get so mad at us that we're so kind of female oriented, but honestly, Carlos, the only reason why we are is because that's who applies to be on this podcast, you know? So it's kind of tough. Like, we're stuck between a rock and a hard place because we know our dads are part of our pillar of our Twiniversity community, but you know, unless you guys send us pictures and do stuff. So for those dads that are listening out there, I strongly encourage you, please. We want you guys to be as much of a part of this, literal an equal part of our family. You guys just don't want to play with us. But now this is where I want to talk about this daddy boot camp.
Yeah.
And I want to, so when your wife was expecting, you took a daddy boot camp.
Yeah. So one of the hospitals that we were going to have her regular, the ultrasound visits, mm-hmm. We were walking out one day and then there was just like this, you know, clear, you know, box of flyers on one of the desks. And, you know, I just kind of looked at it, said upcoming classes. And then, you know, kind of halfway towards the bottom, there was one for a daddy boot camp class. Mm-hmm. And we were about a month or two away from the delivery already. And I said, you know what, I'm going to sign up for this class. And she was, I still have the tendency to shock her sometimes that she goes like, I would have never thought you'd be into that. Like I picked a certain flavor of ice cream one time at Disneyland. And she's like, you like that? I said, yes, I do. So yeah, I signed up for the class because I had not been around babies like at all. Like my brothers mm-hmm. and I have an age gap about 11, 12, 13 years. Mm-hmm. And I never picked them up myself. It was more like my mom sat me down and said, hold your brother while I yes. get something. And I'm just this rigid holding my baby brother. It was never me actually picking them up out of a crib or things like that. So that was kind of where we came across. And I was really thankful for that experience there.
I think it's really interesting in general when we have our classes, like I don't require it that the dads attend, but I think it's really important that dads know that you guys are allowed to have expectations. And just like when you were saying that, you know, you look to your wife to see how she felt about delivery, you know, you're still allowed to have an opinion on how you want your kids to be delivered. Whether it's taken into consideration is another thing by, you know, most people's spouses. But when I do lactation consulting, I always say to the dad, what's your expectation? What's your picture of fatherhood? Because it's always so mom-centric, but in all sincerity, you guys are our partners and nobody's looking to you and saying, what do you want to get out of this experience? You know, because it's your experience. This is the same chunk of your life that it is ours. There is no more importance of what our hopes and aspirations are when it should be for you. So the fact that you were like, I'm going to take this class means that you already were like, I see that perhaps I'm deficient in some baby skills. Oh, yeah. So when you went to this class, is it only men that take the daddy class or did some men bring their wives with them?
Yeah. So it's only men attending the class.
Yes.
Husbands, expectant fathers, boyfriends, you name it. It's only men to take the class. And the best part about it was that I thought it was going to be kind of those classes you see in high school, like where they have like the baby dolls and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's real babies. So it's dads that been through the class mm-hmm. and then came back later. And I was later one of these dads come back to the class with your infant child to kind of help coach and lead the class.
Yeah.
And, you know, they talked about, you know, all these tangible things, because you know, you learn to be a dad, you got to learn these tangible aspects, you know, swaddling, changing diapers, you know, bottle feeding and things like that, burping. Mm-hmm. But then you also got to learn about, you know, the emotional aspects, you know, the expectations, things we just touched on, like that, about, you know, learning to be a dad as well. So it was an environment for, you know, the men to get around and just have these open conversations and, you know, make mistakes, you know, swaddling babies and you know, talk about, you know, the mistakes maybe we've made along the way and how we want to correct it as you know, we're expecting the delivery date to come. So
I think that it's such a valuable thing, and they are available throughout the country. And, you know, if you're hospital now, unfortunately, it's going to be done mostly virtual. But even virtual, there's a lot of worth in getting prepared with like-minded people. So, you know, we have kind of like our, you know, our micro niche, as it's so called, of twin families, because we're 3% of the population. But, you know, you guys are that same 3%. And often dads feel very left out of the story. And it makes me so sad. It really makes me so sad. And Carlos, I don't know if you are familiar with the book that I wrote or if you guys even read it, but when I just revised it. I revised this edition. It was on the shelves for 6 years and I was like, it needs an update. And one of the things that I revised was who the book was dedicated to, which is not really typical, by the way, of an author. Usually once you write a book, it kind of stays dedicated to somebody, but I changed the dedication to my father.
Was that what's to do when you're having two?
That's me. Yeah. That's me. So I changed the dedication to my father, and, you know, it's fascinating. And I pray that, you know, dads read it, because if you read the dedication, you will see that while I love my mom, I do. I mean, she's literally in the next room right next door and she brings me lunch pretty much every day. Please don't talk about it. I know how lucky I am. I still know that what a daddy's girl I was, or, you know, and he unfortunately passed away about a year and a half ago. And when that happened, you kind of have this moment of like, holy crap, like my father was such an instrumental role in my life. And so the dedication of the book is basically about how dads, you might feel like nobody sees you, but you are going to be the statue in the center of the room for people's lives. My father was the center of my universe. I love my dad so much. And I come from like a heavy female dominated Italian family where, you know, it's where like, it's like a pack of wolves, the chicks in our team, but there was just something that was like gentle and different about my dad and understanding and caring. And a lot of dads don't realize that, you know, in hindsight, your children may be taking away the story of how important you were to them. And so it's so important to get kind of that prep. So how do you feel about that, Carlos? Like thinking like when your daughters are adults, for them to look back and say, my dad was like my everything.
Yeah. So again, there's that, you know, practical, and then there's that emotional thing. So, I mean, the practicality thing of taking the class was, you know, those skill sets, but then there was also the emotional aspect of, you know, you just talked about your upbringing. I was brought up in a very traditional, you know, Hispanic, you know, family where, you know, the women raise the kids, dad goes to work. And my dad was always a great provider. We never really, you know, lacked anything that we needed, you know, food, clothing, you name it. But there was never, you know, I never really felt that I could turn to my dad, talk to my dad, have that, you know, emotional bond with him. I kind of do now as an adult because, you know, life changes and, you know, you just kind of connect with people on different levels now. But, you know, growing up, you know, there just wasn't that, you know, bond, I want to say. And I wanted to, you know, break that cycle and break that, you know, habit, I guess, because these are my first children. These are my wife's first children. And there were no girls in my family. We were a family of three boys. My mom was the only girl in the house. So I said, I want to have that father daughter bond with my daughters from the minute that they're born.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about, you know, you mentioned a little while ago about, you know, dad's not being, you know, so involved with university. Dad's not engaging. Dad's not submitting photos. Well, how much of that, you know, I think to myself is a fear, how much of that is cultural and how much of that is not wanting to break the mold of saying that like, hey, dads can be this involved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can be this involved. And when it comes to the expectations, you're allowed to have your expectations. Work with your mom. This is why we're called partners. Work with mom, work with your wife, work with your girlfriend. This is why we're called partners. And, you know, make that partnership function and really, really embrace your role as dad, daddy even. You know, because I'm daddy here, and really have that relationship, you know, with your kids. You know, that was another reason why I wanted to, you know, take that class.
How do you now, at almost 4 years old, what are some of the things that you have done that you felt were the really right things that you did? Now, whether they're right for somebody else, obviously that's subjective, but what are some things that, you know, that there may be a dad that's listening to this now that his partner is currently expecting, and he's just, you know, mind blown and overwhelmed. And how are you going to financially care for, you know, two babies at once if you were the breadwinner? And how are you going to emotionally and physically support them? What is in, you know, in the experience that you have, which is unbelievable, because the amount of stuff that happens within the first 4 years of your children's life is exponential. Yeah. What advice do you give to that expectant dad to kind of put out the fire that things are going to be okay?
So I got to say that, you know, the day they were born, my wife sent me home. She said, go take a nap because you've been up, you know, for so many hours, go take a nap at home and come back. And then I woke up with feeling like I hadn't slept at all, even though I slept a good 4, 5, 6 hours. And then I thought to myself with dread, like, is this how I'm physically going to feel for the next 5, 6, 7, I don't know how many years until they sleep a full night? I had no idea. But that dread starts to wear off. And like, and you know, the best advice I can give is, aside from, you know, learning those tactile things, like I just said, learning how to swaddle, learning how to bottle feed, that, you know, you're going to pick up along the way. The greatest thing you can do is make that investment of your time. You know, the finances, you know, you can figure that out. Money comes in and goes. It's very fluid. You know, I think if you're a dad and you're concerned about that, the fact that you're concerned about it tells me that you're going to be okay. Because if you weren't concerned about it, if you weren't worried about it, I mean, it's not a priority and you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
But if you are concerned, you're asking questions and you're seeking advice, and hopefully you're listening to this conversation, you're going to be okay. It may not be the same path as mine. It may be a little tumultuous, maybe smoother even, but you know, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. There's no amount in the bank that you could have that's going to make you feel more secure. It's going to be, and especially now, Carlos, look, our world just got literally flipped upside down. You know, and twin parents, our lives get flipped upside down anyway with having to raise two twinnies. But, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, and, you know, a lot of people didn't have that rainy day fund that they said they were always going to start, but you do it, you manage. And it's really, like you said, it's the investment of your time that's going to be the thing that makes you remembered. It's not going to be the investment of your finances. Yes. Of course, they need to have a roof over their head, food in their tummy, and clothes on their back. But after you have the basics, it's really that investment of your time that's going to make them dedicate a book to you later on down the line.
And I was very fortunate. I mean, and everyone's situation is different. You know, my situation was I was able to take advantage of, you know, like the federal FMLA time off. You know, long story short, I was off of work for the first 10, 12 weeks of their life. So I was here at home with mom for the first 12 weeks of them being born. And, you know, I look back at that now, and I talked to my friend who's also a very involved dad of three now. That time was so, I almost have to say, invaluable, because I just can't put a price tag on that time.
Yeah.
And that's time that I'm glad that I took, because I'd never be able to get it back now.
Dude, you need to freaking preach it. I'm buying you a soapbox. You need to stand on it, because there's so many people who are like, I don't want to do that. What do you tell the dad who said that doesn't, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be stuck with a baby. I don't want to deal with the sleepless nights. I could easily pass the buck. Why should I do that? What were the things that you got out of that early time with your 20s?
So first, you know, that question reminds me of a situation at the Daddy Boot Camp class. I think it was the second or third time I went back. And there was a young couple, I think, if they were older than 21 years old, I would have been shocked.
Wow.
But the girl brought the guy in. I don't know if they were married or boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever situation was. But you could tell that she dragged him in, and he was being dragged in. Mm-hmm. And at one point just kind of stuck his head in the room. Looked around, saw the posters on the wall, saw the strollers, kind of did a heel turn. And then I just kind of walked out quickly. I said, hey, look, man, if you're giving up on this, you're already giving up on your kid. So, you know, all you got to do, you don't have to participate.
Yeah.
You just come in and listen, and you're going to take away something valuable from it. So, you know, I can't really remember if you stayed or didn't stay, but because, you know, I had my own two who are there now to be subjects of the class that I was trying to take care of. But, you know, what I got to say is that, you know, if you're going to give up on those little things, mm-hmm. then, you know, that's pretty much, you know, you're going to give up on the relationship.
Yeah.
So, you know, get out of that mold of where, you know, you don't want to do these things because of however you feel about it. It's because now it's not 100% about how you feel, because, you know, yeah, you do still have feelings and expectations and that, but the priority here is your baby's well-being mm-hmm. and mom's well-being as well. And mm-hmm. I think that's the difference from being a father and being dad.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I effectively answered that question, but I'm just trying to illustrate.
I think you did. Trying
to illustrate the picture. It's just, there's a big difference in being a father and being dad.
We actually did another podcast that I was speaking to this one wife, and the husband kind of bumped in, and his name was Bo. And the funniest part is that I can remember this like it was yesterday. It's one of our very first Twinsdale podcasts. And speaking to him was so heartwarming and enlightening, because often we have this perception of men. And while the world is changing, Carlos, you know, is really not changing fast enough. So we're not as evolved
as we think we are. So.
Yeah, it's not even that we haven't evolved as much as we are. We talk about prejudices and whatever. Women still hold a significant amount of kind of, you know, not equal partner. These are my babies. I'm breastfeeding. I grew them. I raised them. You know, sometimes it's our own kind of hesitancy to let you, you know, take the lead on things that makes dads not have the ability to take that initiative like you did. So you have to be able, you have to have a receptive partner in order to have the experience that you have. Now, what in the daddy boot camp, I'm curious to know if dads come on their own accord, right? Not with a gun to their head from their expectant partner. When they come and they say things like, you know, like you even said, your wife typically, you know, not maybe somebody to go with the flow as much as being a type A person. When you have a partner who is type A, what's the advice that you could give a dad that could allow that kind of intervention to occur so that they are able to be the dad that they want to be if you have a partner who's a little bit more standoffish thinking about the typical role of motherhood?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that, that's discussed as well, because, you know, you really got to respect, you know, mom's wishes, you know, but then again, to a certain degree also, because, you know, it is a relationship. It is 50-50 if you're co-parenting or if you're parenting, you know, as a married couple, as a couple. You know, I know in my situation, the best thing I could do was, you know, I had to let my wife really come to her own decisions and her own feelings about each aspect, whether if it was, you know, breastfeeding or, you know, certain types of clothing or whatever it was, sleep schedules, you know, she had to come to her own judgment. And while she was doing that, I kind of already knew what my feelings were already. And it was more about like, hey, I want to know how you feel about this, because these are my concerns. What do you think we should do? What do you think is the right decision for us? Instead of just shouting out, hey, I think we need to do this, or I want to do this, or, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's more about, okay, learn how to express the concerns in a way that, you know, we're going to tackle it, you know, together. So that, you know, if you have that type A personality and you have that, you know, traditional mom that wants to take charge of everything, you're still putting her in the driver's seat. Like my wife has always been in the driver's seat of this whole parenting journey that we're on. But, you know, there's never been a time where she hasn't turned to me and said, what do you think is the best option for our children? So,
yeah. And it's not only that, sometimes it's reassuring to know that your partner's on the same page as you. And so just like she said to you, you know, what do you think of this? It's wonderful that you have that kind of dialogue. I hate that word. It's like too PC for me, even like the dialogue with your
partner.
But whatever. It's like literally just throw down, talk it out, and realize that each of you are bringing something very, very unique to the table. And that your children will learn very different things from you than they will from your wife. But if you have the same core values, right, which is probably why you've partnered together in the first place, you guys, like, you chose to do this. A lot of times it's not, you know, an accident. Maybe for the, you know, the 19-year-old or 21-year-old that was in the class, perhaps that was. But with twin families, you know, very often, more often than not, it's a very wanted family.
It's a very wanted situation. Yeah. And that was our case. I mean, this was definitely, you know, a path we want to go on. We weren't expecting twins. We were quite shocked. I remember, thankfully, there was a chair behind me when I found out.
What was your initial thoughts when you heard that second heartbeat? You know, whether, no matter if you were expecting it or not, because I know personally with my situation, we did have IVF and there were two eggies that were thrown into the mix. So it should not have been a shock that both eggs took, but there's still a total, you know, moment of earth shattering. What the heck is going on? And Carlos, the first thing that my husband said, literally as the doctor said, and there's the second heartbeat. My husband's first words to me were, "We got to move." That was it. We live in a small apartment in New York City. We still live here. By the way, I raised my twins in 650 square feet in a walk-up in a tenement building in Manhattan. Where there is a will, there is a way. But what was your initial thought? And then what were your initial words? Because those could totally be two separate things.
You know, so our experience was like it was an emotional roller coaster because, you know, she found out she was pregnant and then she had done her research to find the right doctor and she was still waiting for that first actual appointment. Mm-hmm. And then I remember her parents, who were very close to her parents, had gone out of town for a while and, you know, the weekend comes along and, you know, I won't go into too much detail, but long story short, we had feared that she had miscarried. So, you know, we wind up going into the ER and we're just kind of, you know, already with our hearts broken, thinking that, hey, this is our first time out of the gate and, you know, this is how it's ending out. And, you know, we just didn't know what to think. And then the doctor comes in and the doctor, you know, finally after about an hour, 2 hours, you know, she's actually in a good spirit. And now we're just confused. And she starts talking to us like, hey, we did this, you know, we saw the ultrasound and, you know, both heartbeats. And then she's talking about heartbeats, plural. And then, you know, we're looking at her, we're like, why are you saying it like plural? And then she looks at me all offended as if I didn't know. It's twins. What do you mean it's twins? I'm like, and I swear, like the motions I'm doing right now, it was just like trying to keep my head on straight. Thankfully that there's a chair behind me and just like catching your breath of like, we came in here fearing the worst. And now, you know, I'm reminded of, you know, one of the race car drivers I follow talking about experiencing the lowest of lows and the highest of highs and of how humans are so capable of experiencing those two emotions at the same time. So from there it was like, are you joking? Like, are you kidding? Are you serious? Do we need to test again? But no, after that, she got to see her regular doctor, almost immediately, the discharge orders. And then, that was when we got our first clear ultrasound and we still had it framed. And, you know, for me, it was just so, I don't want to get spiritual on you, but I had recently lost my auntie and my grandma, two women who had raised me maybe about a year to 18 months prior. So to find out that my wife was pregnant with two girls.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just imagine how I felt.
So. I can't, I'm a little choked up for you. I gotta be honest. Yeah. And I'm a little speechless to be honest with you, but I would feel the same way. And you know, the thing about the miscarriage, that's not actually an uncommon story in our community, because with an implantation bleeding, when the babies kind of, you know, latch on, sometimes you could have bleeding. And then often people, you know, think that they're in the middle of a miscarriage and then you go to the hospital and find out that it's one or two or three.
Or three.
I hope not four. Four is, well, no, I'm not saying that. For those of you that are listening that have quads, I'm sorry. But that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot to handle. But twins, it's a welcome blessing. And we as a community, and you with your dads in, you know, in California, and us here in New York, and having the great resource of the Daddy Boot Camp, it's wonderful. Because while I joke and say all the time that, you know, misery loves company, and that should be the tagline of Twiniversity, because that's literally what it is. Often people find us when they're in their lowest lows, whether it's they just found out they were, you know, having to, and they don't know how they're going to do this, and could their body carry, you know, to term, and where are they going to deliver, and how they're going to afford it. So often we find people in the lows, and we try to help them get to the highs in the same, you know, way that your class did. But Carlos, it's literally, I'm really, really, really honored that you took time out of your day to talk to us. And I really mean that. There's such a special place in my heart for dads in general. And it makes me really sad when dads don't feel like they are a partner. And, but I'm going to tell you on the same note, as much as I feel, it's age that got me to feel this way, because when my twinnies were born, I wasn't dismissive of my husband, but I was very, these are our roles. And no matter what the calendar said, I still live in 1942. Like, we have a very traditional relationship. Despite the fact that I'm the only one working full time right now, I still make dinner. You know, I'm still cleaning the house. There's still a lot of things that are kind of, you know, quote unquote, perceived as the woman's job. And while my husband
perceived,
yes, perceived. Oh, I can't. But now that I've given him, you know, more kind of like, please, like, really need your help. He's totally was always willing to do it. It was just me that was preventing him from doing it. And I could think about times like, and I'm curious to know what you think about this too. Like, I remember when they were little, I would get so frustrated at the way that he would do things, because they weren't the way that I did things. And one example was, I went out to go get groceries or something. I came back and both of the twins were still in their pajamas, which irritated me. They were still in their pajamas and they were eating out of bowls on the floor in the kitchen. They were eating Cheerios with milk out of bowls on the floor like dogs. And I walked in with all of my groceries and the twins are like, we're puppies. And my husband's like, Nat, while you're gone, we got two dogs. And my kids are all over the place. And I don't see puppies. I see milk everywhere. I see Cheerios spilt everywhere. I see little clumps of banana in their matted in their hair, the knees of their pajamas wet with the milk that I know is going to smell, and it's running under the stove. That's what I saw. Where my husband was like, we were just having fun. Like, what's wrong with the situation? When you have a conflict with like that with your partner, or if you have, whether a different parenting style, because he's definitely still Good Time Charlie and I'm, you know, the iron fist of our house. How do you handle when there's a conflict between you and your wife about, like, see it through my eyes for a second?
You know, I think you have to be honest with your personality. You know, I've learned about me, at least as I've gotten older, is that my mouth tends to get me in trouble. So when I see that we have a conflict, I have to be very conscious of knowing that, okay, me saying something isn't going to make this better. Mm-hmm. So I now need to understand, okay, she's upset. I may not know exactly why she's upset, but let me look at the situation. I have to understand, okay, there's basic things that I know that always have to be done with the girls. You know, again, if it's cold outside, they got to have sweaters on. If they're downstairs, because we have towel point, got to have their socks on, or they got to have their morning shoes, their slippers, as we call them now. So, you know, there's certain things that, okay, did I cover my bases in this way? Because everything else can be negotiable. Maybe they shouldn't have been watching TV at this hour. You know, maybe it was too early to have cookies, you know, whatever it might be. But, you know, it's definitely, check your personality first. And if you know, I tend to point the finger at me first, to which she likes to tell me, it's not always about you. Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm a little self-deprecating here. I'm trying to put the blame on me first instead of blaming you. You know, as long as I can say that, hey, I'm gonna curb myself down a little bit and try to meet you halfway, then I think anything can be resolved. I'm sure, like your husband said, you know, they were just having fun. May have been at the wrong time, place, setting. You know, some other way they could have had fun.
In hindsight, I think that was pretty awesome, and I think it's so cute, and they were having such a good time, and I don't remember if I ruined it. I probably did, to be very honest with you. I probably was like, no more puppy time. They're going to go in cages or whatever. And I probably ruined everything, but it took a minute for me to, and I try to do that not only, by the way, with my partner, but with my children. I try to take a minute and I try to see it through their eyes, whether it's 4-year-old eyes in your case or 16-year-old eyes in my case. Don't even think about it, by the way. Just literally with two girls, just pretend the future's not going to happen. Okay. Just deal with 4 right now and a coronavirus pinata. That's all you need to worry about. Okay.
Right.
Worry about the rest down the line. But it's still, as your kids, you know, evolve as humans, they're going to see things in their ways. And especially, like you said, with your daughters, that they're such different people, you're going to now have you're going to have 3 pairs of eyes that you need to see situations through, which is so hard, but it's so necessary because we raise our kids not to be professional video gamers living in our basement. We're raising them to become active members of society that are going to be, you know, start their own families and do whatever they want with their world. So you're raising them. We only have them for a tiny amount of time. And does it really matter if they're eating off of the floor as puppies? Does it really matter? Does this mean that they're not going to go to Harvard? You know, no. If they don't learn Mandarin by 2, you know, like how do you, and I'm sorry, I know I'm going so long, but Carlos, I told you,
I'm
so excited when dads join me because people need to understand, whether it's dads that are listening or moms that are listening, it's so critical that you guys know that this is a partnership. And with twins, there is no freaking middle ground. You have to be partners.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think, you know, when we got pregnant, you know, we were living in an apartment as well. It was a third floor apartment. And, you know, from there, I kind of had the same reaction as your husband too. It was like, you know, we got to move. So, you know, from there, you know, doing the house hunting, dealing with the pregnancy, you know, rushing into a home that I wasn't fully satisfied with, but, you know, was what we needed at the time. You know, again, those are all things that I couldn't have executed, you know, without her. So, you know, and then after that, you know, coming home, you know, getting their room prepped, you know, prior to the delivery, you know, making sure it was the right colors that we wanted. And then the whole crib fiasco with Babies R Us, having a crib almost not delivered in time. You know, these are all things you have to lean on each other on. And I think, you know, again, me being fortunate to be able to take that time off of work and be home, and just kind of get to know each other a little better. And I was surprised how little we didn't argue that whole time.
Had a common goal. You know, you both were on the same page. While they could be different pages of the same book, you guys were still, you still had the common goal of getting to where you needed to be, of raising these kids, or really just making it till 7 p.m. You know, when everybody involved in the beginning, and those of you that are listening totally get it, that sometimes you wake up at 5:30 and your only thing that you could focus on is 7:30 that night. And how are you going to get there? And when you have your partner next to you, that's the same goal. You know, you're not thinking about the free time you're going to have later, or, you know, going out that weekend, or yes, of course, there could be other things on your mind, but when you have a shared goal, it makes your relationship so much stronger.
And for people listening, I guess, you know, don't take it as I'm just speaking from the perspective of, you know, you have to be married to accomplish these things. And you know, I've known some very, very good, one of the best dads I've ever known and been fortunate to met. I mean, him and his wife separated years ago, and he's probably still the most involved father I've probably ever personally met. His kids are, you know, well grown now.
And there's plenty, by the way, for those of you that are single dads out there that, you know, hired a surrogate and ended up getting twinnies, that happens pretty often too. So for those guys that are out there, if you're like, I really would like children, if somehow you found this, just know that, you know, we do have a mentorship program. And Carlos, I don't even know if you know that, but we have a peer-to-peer mentorship program at Twiniversity, and it's all about matching you up with people. And we have a few dads, luckily, that are part of our mentorship program where we can match you up with other dads, which is just great. You're very lucky to have community support with your dads group. You're very, very lucky. Not everybody is. And I love that you have reached out to that. And those girls are so lucky. I know that they probably don't realize it now. And you can make your wife listen to this, and she's probably going to say, you only know half the story. You she's don't know the other half.
And she's going to say, you forgot this point and this part. That's not how that happened. Hey, I did my best.
Listen, you always do your best. That's all that we could do. Carlos, thank you so much. There's so many more things that I want to cover, but I know that both of us have realities to kind of get back to. And especially the listener has a reality to get back to. So we can't go on for 45 hours like I want to, because I do. I want to talk about like division of labor in your house. And was it a discussion?
Oh,
like,
there's
I
could so literally, many things.
I'm telling you, we're going to save this.
We didn't even touch on the singleton topic. So
no, look and see, this is what I'm saying about sometimes we have ads and sometimes we don't, because sometimes I just don't want to stop the conversation even for 20 seconds to miss something, a piece of advice that you could give people. So Carlos, I really, I humbly thank you. Now, if people wanted to join, find out if their hospital has a dad's group or if there was a dad's in the area, like how do they go about finding that?
Like a daddy bootcamp class?
Yeah.
So the first thing I would do, you know, in this world now, you know, I actually just Googled it just to make sure it still pops up. If you just type in a daddy bootcamp into Google, you'll get the link right there at the very top. They've got some really good, you know, search engine tools now. But, you know, just go into your local hospital. I know it's kind of, you know, taboo right now to do that, but I think the maternity wards are pretty well cared for right now. And, you know, they'll have postings just at the door of, you know, your classes are, or, you know, ask questions, you know, someone will point you in the right direction.
So. Carlos, thank you so much for playing with us today. I really appreciate that you took time away from your girls to be with us. It's great. And guys, we're going to put the links in the show notes too, so don't get too stressed. So if you're driving, you know, you're commuting or hiding in your car away from your children, either way, don't write anything down. You will have a click to that down there. But don't forget also to please subscribe to this podcast, because everybody always tells me, we don't know when the next one is out. We don't want you to say that to me, please. That's not the email we want to receive in our community box. Just hit subscribe and they'll automatically get downloaded no matter where you download your podcasts. And if you need anything from either Carlos or I, you could email us at community@twiniversity.com. So anything that you need, or if you need more advice, or you just need to reach out to your community, being it dad, mom, you know, same-sex family, surrogate family, whatever it is, we're here for you. You know, if you have twins, we're your needle in the haystack. So Carlos, thanks again for playing with us today.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for the time. I enjoyed it.
All right, guys, until next time, I will see you later, alligators, or hear you later, alligators. I probably should say that for a podcast. And like I said, you know, just hit subscribe and follow us on social too. And if you need anything, you know where to find us. Thanks for listening, guys.